Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So Deshaun Stevenson had this SAT he couldn't pass. He had a 480 score. He needed an 800. So I wrote a column saying, look, he showed up at a Fresno State basketball game. It makes a lot more sense that he would just stay home. Why would you go all the way to Lawrence, Kansas just to play a year of college basketball in which you were not eligible? Or maybe it's the NBA for him. And Roy Williams got on a plane, was pissed, flew to Fresno, showed up at Deshaun's next game, saw me sitting courtside, asked me if he could talk to me outside in that nice old Roy Williams, innocent Roy, used a series of expletives that I don't know that I could duplicate. The man can cuss. Didn't know that from that front-facing Roy Williams appearance. So what I'm saying is a lot of times you get coaches. By the way, Deshaun scored an 1100 on the SAT like a week later. He took it in North Carolina for some reason and then scored 1,100. The test board threw the score out. They said it was an invalid score. They suspected it was not him who took the test. When I told Jerry Tarkanian that Deshaun had scored an 1,100 on the SAT, Tark said, hell, he doesn't need basketball. He kid's a Rhodes Scholar. It's true. Tark knew how to game a test. Tark went on a whole thing about how you cheat on the SAT, how do you get somebody to take the test. He knew where the bodies were buried. Man, let's go to where it's cold. Adam Jude of the Seattle Times covers the Seahawks, among other things. He's an expert on all things, and he joins us now. Where are you right now, Adam Jude?
John, I'm still at home in Seattle. Just packing here and get ready to go for an early morning flight tomorrow. And somehow we'll make it to Green Bay. They're saying right now 6 to 12 inches overnight tomorrow. So, flying into Chicago. And if I have to hitchhike, I guess we'll get to Lambeau Field somehow.
No, they'll get you there. They this is what they do. I thought about when I lived in the northeastern part of Indiana, and I was covering IU basketball. I had the same thing. I'd look at the snow and I'd be like, how are they going to land the play? And everybody's like, are you kidding me? This is what we do. Land it right in the snow. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing I make of the Seahawks this year, and that's I have no idea week to week what to expect from these guys, because that's just the type of team these Seahawks are. You know, I think they had a point differential of +7 over 16 games in the regular season, and they won 11 games somehow. Think about that. And you saw it again last week where against the Eagles, it was just kind of an ugly back-and-forth game. You felt with Carson Wentz out early in that game, the Seahawks should have pulled away somehow. They couldn't. They make a few errors here and there, and it's a close game right at the end, and then somehow they survive and are walking away and moving on to the next round. So I think it's a really good matchup, an interesting matchup. I think the Packers certainly have all the advantage, you know, playing at home in the cold, coming off a bye with a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers and a much-improved defense. But at the same time, the Seahawks, they are in a tight game. Every week they're conditioned to games like this, and I certainly wouldn't count them out in the way Russell Wilson has played this year. I certainly am not counting him out at all.
Saw the stat, Wilson has never won at Green Bay. What does that have to do with? Is it just limited opportunities or something else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's just a tough place to play. I think if you look at over the last decade, the teams that have won the most games at home, off the top of my head, I believe it's New England won, but then the NFC, it's Green Bay, 2, and then the Seahawks 3 right there. And so obviously with Aaron Rodgers and that home field advantage there, it's just obviously a tough place to play. So, and you know, those are some good Seahawks teams that went there too during the regular season and lost. I think in 2016, Russell Wilson had 5 interceptions there in a regular season loss. So certainly not an easy place to play. At the same time, It's been a few years, and Russell Wilson, that's not something he's going to dwell on anyway, and certainly not something I don't think he's thinking about this week.
Talking to Adam Jude of the Seattle Times. Adam, what do they need out of Marshawn Lynch to win this game? What does Seattle need out of him?
You know, not a whole lot. As we've seen the last 2 weeks, you know, since he's basically come out of retirement, they've given him the ball in sort of goal line situation, and he's come up with a big play. He jumped over the pile to score a touchdown at home in the regular season finale against the 49ers. Should have gotten the ball there in the final minute, at the 1 yard line too, before their delay of game penalty. And then he had that crazy, awesome spin into the end zone from the 5 yard line last week in Philadelphia. He's kind of more just a burst of energy. They don't expect him to carry the ball 20 times a game and get 150 yards for him. That's not realistic for a guy who's 33 years old, has gained a few pounds, lost a couple steps, and hasn't played football in 14 months. So that's not realistic. That said, I think his energy and just his presence on the sideline, there's a lot of young guys on this team that never played with him, had only heard stories, and now they're seeing him up close. And obviously there's a persona about him, publicly. And I think that's a little bit different for the guys who are getting to know him in the locker room and really see him as a team guy. He really cares about his teammates. You see their rookie running back, Travis Homer. I think Marshawn has tried to pump him up at every opportunity, sort of behind the scenes and on the sideline. And that's what he brings, just kind of a presence and an inspiration. And all that said, Pete Carroll did come out early this week and said they want to see a little bit more out of Marshawn. They're going to force feed it to him a little bit more this week, I think in part because they want to play a little keep away from Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay offense, and in part because they know that they can't just rely on Russell Wilson too. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see Marshawn get 12 carries, maybe something up to 15 carries if the Seahawks are ahead and they're trying to milk the clock a little bit. So, again, they don't need 100 yards from him, but I do think they want to try to establish a run, certainly if you know Pete Carroll, and see what he can do there.
Jadeveon Clowney, his health, what version do the Seahawks get of him?
Well, Pete Carroll just said at his media briefing that Clowney actually came through better this week than he did last week, and that's obviously a really, really encouraging sign for the Seahawks because Clowney played a really good game, I thought, at Philadelphia last week, overshadowed by his helmet-to-helmet hit on Carson Wentz and all the controversy that caused, certainly in Philadelphia after that. But, I think we've seen this Seahawks team, they're at their best when Jadeveon Clowney is at his best. And, their best game of the year, I thought, was the Monday night victory in San Francisco in early November. And it ironically, it was in that same game Clowney got hurt. He injured a core muscle or a growing muscle, as I was told. And that's going to need surgery here after the season. And so he's been playing through that, trying to manage it. He has missed a couple games. And there's times where he's looked like a shell of himself. But he's certainly motivated here in the playoffs. He's a free agent for the first time in his career once this season ends. And no doubt about it, that's a huge motivation for him. He wants a high-end contract. He wants a $100 million contract here. And I think the more he can prove it in showtime games like this, I think the more teams are going to jump on that opportunity during his free agency.
The 49ers on the other side of this are playing Minnesota. I mean, selfishly, I would love to see the Niners and Seahawks 3 because I think it would be epic for a trip to the Super Bowl. Are we going to get that? What's your feel on this game? You say you don't know, but you must. I mean, the Seahawks have found a way several times. You must have some feel.
Yeah, that's kind of what I keep coming back to, right? Like I said, it's just everything lines up for the Packers here, right? They should win. They're at home. They've got the experienced quarterback. They've got the momentum, a 13-3 team, and coming off the bye, and yet just find it really hard to count out Russell Wilson. I mean, he's having the best season of his career. If not for Lamar Jackson's magic this year, Russell would be the NFL MVP right now, and I still think Russell should and will get a few votes in that race as well. But Russell just finds a way, and we saw it last week too, where he's going to use his feet a little bit more. Obviously, early in his career, when the Seahawks were relying more on their defense and the Legion of Boom, Russell was just more of a game manager. They didn't ask him to do a whole lot, and he was able to extend plays with his feet so much more. we've seen him move away from that the last couple years, but these last couple weeks in these really big games, these must-win games, he's been willing to take a little more chances with his feet. We saw him juke a guy on a long run in Philadelphia the other day, and he knows it. He's still got that in his bag of tricks, and I think we're going to see a couple more of those in big third down situations in the fourth quarter, whatever it may be. And I just find it really hard to, even with all the injuries, even with the uncertainty of the Seahawks offensive line right now, some of their struggles on defense this year, I just think Russell Wilson finds a way to win. And I think you're right. I think they're going to be back on the road in San Francisco next week. This rivalry renewed, and Richard Sherman barking and the Seahawks making the trip to San Francisco for a shot at the Super Bowl. I think that's kind of the storybook finish for these two teams. And I do think we're probably going to see it.
All right. Before I cut you loose, scarier proposition for the Seahawks, just being in Green Bay or Aaron Rodgers? Which of those two things is more dangerous to them?
I think in the past you certainly would have to say Aaron Rodgers, but beyond the surface level stats for him this year, he's basically just been mediocre. You know, they've really relied on that run game and Aaron Jones a lot more this year, and that defense, like I said, is much improved. They can really get after the quarterback. So I'd have to say Lambeau. I mean, again, when it's going to be 20 degrees at kickoff, I think Green Bay's already asked for up to 700 fans to volunteer to come out and shovel the field before the game on Sunday. That frozen tundra, we know over the years, has knocked off a few foes, including Russell Wilson, the Seahawks. So that to me is a pretty big hurdle for these guys.
Adam Jude, travel safely.
Thanks, John.
Snowshoes, man. Pack them.
I love it.
We'll see you. There's Adam Jude, Seattle Times. Good stuff there. Seahawks going to win this thing? Okay, entertainment? Yes. If the Seahawks win, it would be wildly entertaining to see the Seahawks and 49ers play for the NFC crown, as they did several years ago in the Richard Sherman, Michael Crabtree. Remember Sherman and Crabtree? Remember after the game? Sherman's barking at the whole end of this thing. Here it was.
Hey. What about Charlie? Hey. What about Charlie? I'm Kevlar.
Kaepernick takes the snap. Brooks fires near side, going for the end zone. The ball is picked up and afterward. He's picked up in the end zone.
Richard Sherman, now in a 49ers uniform. Look how crazy that is. All right, leave it here. We go to Vegas. Jay Cornegay, the Westgate Superbook. He'll talk the betting action on the four playoff games. Which game is meriting the most action? Which line has moved the most? Where is the sharp money? And Monday's national championship game, LSU-Clemson. Why is the line where it is if 90% of the money is on LSU? Leave it here. Got four great NFL games this weekend. Got championship game and college football playoff national championship on Monday. Of course, there are a ton of people who are interested in those games and the lines on those games. I'm always interested in sort of how the lines are set. I'm interested in, why the lines are where they are. And over the years, we've brought Jay Cornegay from the Superbook at Westgate on this show, and he joins us live via satellite from the Strip. Hey, Jay, how are you, man?
Hey, by satellite. Yeah, it's like, hey, John, how are you?
Good, man. Let's start. Like, this is a big weekend. You got four games. You got the championship game in college football on Monday. Does it feel like we're all, like, headed to the top of the mountain here?
It really is. It's actually one of the biggest weekends of the year when we have two playoff games on Saturday, two on Sunday, and, of course, followed by the championship game. So this is a very popular weekend of really a lot of football fans, as we have some pretty good matchups. And obviously the icing on the cake is the, you know, national championship game on Monday night.
Let's start with that championship game on Monday night, because I saw a story out that said 90% of the public money is on LSU. How is that look on your books?
You know, we could start here and probably finish here, too, because this is the biggest game of the weekend for us because it's so lopsided. First of all, the futures that we've been – the bets that we've been taking all year long for the NCAA championship – you know, we look pretty good on Clemson. We break even on LSU. And you just mentioned it. Ever since we posted this game, it's been all LSU. It's LSU, LSU over. It's all LSU money line. And it has skyrocketed to now six.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.